Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 4. Devotion beyond comprehension. When we look at the lives of the blessed companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how their love for Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ways of Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam outweighed everything. The world had never seen devotion like this before and will not see it again till the day of judgment. This is how amazing it was. And we're on this blessed journey. Now let me start with this. Dartha ke isyan ki saza abhi hogi ya roze jaza. Ala Hazrat, beautiful. Ala Hazrat was the master of poetry. And his love for Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what can you say? It was just amazing. So he says, ke dar tha ke isyan ki saza. Ke I was afraid that, you know, because of my sins, I might be punished in this world. Ya hogi roze jaza. Or I might be then gripped on the day of judgment, which is a very terrifying day. But then what does Allah Hazrat say? He says, "Di unki rahmat ne sada, ye bhi nahi, wo bhi nahi." Okay, then the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out to me and said, "No, because of this merciful Prophet, you will be protected on this earth and on the day of judgment as well." Subhanallah. This is the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It offers you life within life. It is the essence of your iman. It offers you protection in this world and the hereafter. And it makes your life worth living. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I'm going to move to... We've got our normal segments today. So we've got our main journey into the life of the Blessed Companions. And also a particular department of Dawat Islami, which we look at every week. So we'll come to that. But before that, I've got a beautiful kalam for you. My favorite Naat Khan. And this kalam, subhanallah, I won't spoil it for you. Let's go to our beautiful kalam by Haji Mushtaq Attari rahmatullah alayh, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Phir mujhe aqa Madine ne bulaya shukriya.
Stop.
سنتوں کو عام کرنے کا مجھے جذبہ دیا، عہد سنت کا مجھے خادم بنایا شکریہ، اہل سنت کا مجھے خادم بنایا شکریہ، میری گرچہ شیطان گھڑی مانتی ہے گھات میں، تم نے تھاما جب کبھی میں ڈگمگایا شکریا، تم نے تھاما جب کبھی میں ڈگمگایا شکریا، دے دیا سگے غوث و رضا اس کو بنایا شکریا، اور سگے غوث و رضا اس کو بنایا شکریا، اور سگے غوث و رضا اس کو بنایا شکریا، پھر مجھے
No doubt it's a great privilege that we are the Ummatis of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The treasure of Iman itself is one of the greatest treasures. And Iman itself says that the essence of me, Iman, is the love of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful kalam by Haji Mushtaq Attari rahmatullah alayhi, with all his passion and that kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? That love, that affection, that passion, that enthusiasm that he has, truly amazing. And that is translated through his voice and his words into a beautiful kalam that, you know, when we listen to, it increases the love of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. We're going to move to our main segment, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
Now, last week we talked about the great Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala and how his life evolved around the love of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he was blessed and honored with the privilege of serving not only Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the household of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Today, I've got another angle to this love. Because what sometimes happens is that we want to do the work of deen, we want to kind of make an effort, but laziness comes in or other things take priority and then afterwards we regret. But then what happens is the shaitan gives us a waswasa. He says, look, doesn't matter, everybody else is not bothered. Why are you so worried? Have you missed an opportunity to do a good deed, to do the work of deen? It doesn't matter. And we kind of placate ourselves in that way. Well, that wasn't the way of the companions. Three companions, Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Murra bin Rabi radiallahu ta'ala. They didn't participate in a battle, in a ghazwa that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. It was a battle, the Battle of Tabuk. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unlike other battles where everything was usually kept a secret because there were munafiqeen about and spies about, Everything was kept secret till the last moment, and then the Muslims were said, let's march towards this direction, and we're going to this battle. But the book was different. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced this very early and said, we need a big army, we need to fight these disbelievers, and we need to protect the Muslims. So everybody is preparing. And now the actual size of the army was so huge that if somebody wanted to shy away and hide, they could do, because it wasn't like the normal battles. So, and then especially with those companions who didn't have the wealth. So some people came to the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, the book is a long way away. We don't have the wealth, the bride, the money and everything else. The Muslims had gathered some stuff, and you remember from the famous Hadith Mubarakas that Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made announcements, and Hazrat Sayyidina Usman Ghanid radiallahu anhu donated, and other Muslims donated as well, but still wasn't enough because this was a huge army. So Hazrat Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that at that time I was actually quite wealthy. I was doing quite well for myself, and so I said, I'm going to go to the Battle of Tabuk. But he says, unfortunately, I kept putting it off. So people were preparing for this journey, for this battle. And I thought, I'm busy with my work. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it another day. I'll do it another day. And then suddenly the time came upon me when the Muslims were leaving. So even then, I thought, well, I haven't got enough time to prepare before the Muslims leave, but I'll prepare in the next day or two and I'll catch them up. So that's fine. He says, then I let the army depart. And again, that kind of, I will get it done, no problem, came over me. And I delayed it even more. I thought, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go the day after. I've got, still got this to do, still got that to do. And it was it's a problem that we have when it comes to, things, worldly things. We tend to kind of give priority to those rather than the work of deen. Here, it was a test for this companion. So Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu delays his departure. The intention's there, the love is there, everything's there, but he just delays the departure. What happens? The Muslims go there, they're successful, and they come back. And he's caught off guard. He's still thinking, well, I'll go, I'll join them. And suddenly, the army comes back. Now, he and others who hadn't gone were kind of afraid. Now the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they would come to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would make excuses, and the mercy to the world being Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would accept their excuses and say fine. And this was a time where the munafiqeen weren't being pointed out, so it wasn't like we would challenge the hypocrites and say, well, you're a hypocrite, you're lying, or no, take care, this is your excuse, you presented it, you can go. But the genuine companions, and Hazrat Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu was one of those genuine ones, without doubt. So they were now thinking, we've missed a great opportunity. How are we going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So he says that for days, I ponder. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit Mubarak was, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they returned from a battle, they would go straight to the masjid and perform salah and thank Allah azza wa jal. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had returned. Now, what had happened in Tabuk was something different. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never ask about these the hypocrites or anybody who wasn't there, who wasn't genuine. But the genuine companions, those Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew had a clean heart, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Tabuk and says, okay, where is Ka'b bin Malik? And one of the companions says, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, it looks like wealth and splendor has impeded him, because he's now well off. That has got in his way. Another companion says, now Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, what he has said is incorrect. As far as we know, he's a good person. We don't know why he's here. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked about it. Now, when he hears, as Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu hears Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously he's saddened, he's upset. We've all been in that position where we missed a great opportunity, and then we are saddened by it, and there's no reprieve from it. So he says, I started to think of excuses, and lots of things came to my mind, and the waswasas came, and I thought, I'll say this and I'll make this excuse. And then eventually I said to myself, no. You're not talking to any normal person from the world who you can
pull the wool over their eyes and pretend something. You're talking to the best of creation, the one Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed with the knowledge of the unseen, the one who knows everything about you, the one who is the most beloved and the mercy to the worlds. So he says, I said, no, I'm going to tell my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the truth, come what may. Even if it means that I'm going to be punished, so be it, but I'm going to stick to the truth. He comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hypocrites are coming in and giving their excuses, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is accepting them, smiling and sending them away, because he knows they're hypocrites. He says, I came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I conveyed my salam. My master smiled in a displeased way and turned away. He says, my heart just sank. I humbly said, O Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla, why have you turned away from me? I am neither a hypocrite, nor is there any wavering in my faith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, come here. I came, I sat down next to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Kaab, what hindered you? What stopped you? I humbly said, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I was presently before a worldly person. If I was before a worldly person, then I could have escaped from the anger, from the questioning, by telling, making an excuse. You are the best of creation. You are aware of falsehoods. I know that it would never succeed in your court. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no excuse. I had never possessed the wealth that I had, so it wasn't money. I had the opportunity, but time just came away from me. I missed this chance. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kaab has spoken the truth. He has spoken the truth. Thereafter, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said words that would ring in my ears. Rise, Allah himself will decide regarding you. Allahu Akbar. I rose from there, and many people from my nation said to me, by the Lord, we don't know if you have done a sin prior to this, but if you had made an excuse in the court of the best of creation, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so forgiving, he would have forgave you. But you have told the truth. He said, no matter what it was, I couldn't compound a mistake with a lie. I had to tell my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the truth, and I have told the truth. Whatever the punishment of Allah is, whatever the decree of Allah is, we will have to see. Now the people were informed, Allahu Akbar, that they were not to talk to, communicate, or in any way trade or do anything else with these three companions. There were lots of others, but they weren't the genuine ones. They were the hypocrites. But Hazrat Hilal ibn Umayyah, Hazrat Mu'arr ibn Rabi, and Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, these were pious. I mean, some of these companions were people who had participated in Badr, but yet their situation became such that nobody would talk to them. Everybody isolated them, waiting for the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So much so that people would have discussions in such a way. People talked about them, withdrew from them, and said, look at the position they're in. Allahu Akbar. They say that people seemed like strangers to us. We were living in the same Medina, but we were strangers. Because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had turned away from us, and the people had turned away from us, it seemed like our lives were at an end. We thought life couldn't be worse than this. Allahu Akbar. And we thought the worst thing that could happen to us was if we die in this state, the way it seemed that nobody would even read our janazah. No companion would come to us or help us in any way, because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was clearly not happy with us. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says that the three of us spent 50 days in this state. Allahu Akbar. And that was the state of the surrounding environment. Our state, we were constantly crying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We couldn't eat, we couldn't drink, we couldn't do anything, couldn't take part in any affairs. I was the strongest amongst them. And even then, I went to join the Salah Nobody would talk to me. I went to a gathering. Nobody would say anything. I conveyed salams and I was ignored. I just could not believe and understand what was happening to me. I thought, how unfortunate was it that I had put myself in this position? Then, eventually, one day, Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, my paternal uncle's son, he climbed up and conveyed salams. And then he said, do you not know that I love Allah and His Messenger? I said, I love Allah and His Messenger. He did not reply. I asked again, I said, give me an oath. Do you not know that I love Allah and His Messenger? You're treating me like this? And again, he did not reply. Tears began to flow from my eyes, and I didn't know where to go. The whole world became restricted for me. But things were going to get worse. The reason they're going to get worse is this. That the Qibti Christian king of an area, they had spies and they had the hypocrites. So somebody had told him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had become upset with Ka'ab bin Malik. So he sent a message. And in that message, he said, we have been informed, the Ghassan king, he said, we have been informed that your master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has tormented you. May Allah not keep you in a place of disgrace and you may not be wasted. Come to us, we shall assist you. Hazrat Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, my situation was dire anyway. But upon reading this message, I thought, when I thought it couldn't get worse, the kuffar are now, you know, asking me to join them. They think that I'm not worthy of the quote of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I read, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I thought my situation could not become worse. And I became, never in my life had I had that feeling where I thought that my situation in the court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has deteriorated so much that the enemies of Islam think that I may join them. Allahu Akbar. Time passed and it was the most difficult time of my life. Then a command came that everybody should leave these three. The wife of Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu ta'ala anha entered the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, Hilal is extremely old. He needs me because he won't be able to survive without me. If you permit, I shall look after him. If you don't, I shall leave him. Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are permitted to do this, but only serve him what he needs and leave him other than that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam gave these. Hazrat Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, a further 10 days went by. And now we were totally isolated. Allahu Akbar. On the 50th day, I was sat on the roof of my house after Fajr, thinking, what will I do with my life? This earth has become extremely narrow for me. My life has become so strenuous. And nothing else matters in the world. The only thing that matters is the love of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's it. Suddenly, I hear somebody shout from the rooftops. An invoker exclaimed that there is forgiveness and glad tidings for Ka'ab. Upon hearing this, I fell down in prostration. Tears of happiness came to my eyes. I understood that Allah Azza wa Jal had sent revelation to His beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, announcing my forgiveness and that of my companions. And this caller was sent by Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam to give glad tidings of this to the people of Medina. I entered the court of my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wa sallam together with my two companions. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was there. The companions rushed towards me. They congratulated me. They shook hands with me. These were the same people who for 50 days wouldn't even look at me. And suddenly they were hugging me and they were welcoming me. I went over to the blessed court of the beloved Habib and I offered my salams. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face Mubarak was filled with happiness. There was a radiance there. The Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal's blessed face shone like the moon, and it delighted me. In conclusion, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my repentance had been accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It was as if I had regained my life. It was as if I had been given a new opportunity, a new life. I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will give all of my wealth, which has caused this problem. I will give all of my wealth in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I was passionate, I was enthusiastic, I was just glad that I'd been forgiven. I was glad that everything had been restored. So this was my excitement for the best of creation. The most wise of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal said, Kaab, this is too much. It is better that a share remains with you. Therefore, it doesn't become difficult for you. I again said, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is better that a share remains with me. The truth has preserved me. I promise that I shall always speak the truth. Subhanallah. Look at the lives of these companions. Their entire existence depended upon just the happiness and the rizā, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their joy and sorrow evolved around what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted. Their lives, the wealth didn't matter, the children didn't matter, the wives didn't matter, the worldly status didn't matter. What mattered is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of them. And this was important. Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik and the other companions, they had everything. But because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset with them, their world was at an end. That was devotion beyond comprehension. Having everything, but it mean nothing. And having nothing, but having the raza, the pleasure and the agreement of Allah and His Habib, and having everything. This was the blessed companion. This was devotion beyond comprehension. Subhanallah. Let me share with you another amazing tale. There was a dispute between a Jewish man and a Muslim. And they came to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to both sides. And the most just prophet and the most amazing decider of affairs and the most brilliant judge on this earth, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, decided that the Muslim was wrong and that the Jewish man was right in this claim. So Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave judgment for that man. And this was the beauty of Islam. This is because no matter who it wasn't nepotism or who you knew or what you knew. When it came to the Islam and the courts and the court of Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the blessed companions, it was truth that prevailed. It was justice that was most important. It was the right path which was chosen, no matter who it was. Today, we don't see that in our society. Today, we have bribes and influence and all sorts of other things creeping in. And this is why a lot of the time things get dire and we lose our dignity and our respect. But no, this was the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the matter's decided, end of story. The so-called Muslim, comes out of the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as does the Jewish man. Now the Jewish man is happy because he's got justice. And he must have been afraid that we're coming, you know, I'm coming to somebody who's not part of my religion, who's going to judge me. When he comes out, he is testifying to the greatness of this amazing Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even though I was a non-Muslim, my case was against a Muslim, the Prophet of Islam, who I don't accept, has decided in my favor. Wow, he's amazing. Now, this Muslim, a hypocrite, because he was a hypocrite, he says to the Jew, why don't we get, I'm not accepting this, na'uzubillah. We need to get another judgment on this matter. He says, what? He says, your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually decided the matter, listened to all the arguments and decided in my favor. Where else do you want to go? He says, I think we should go to the court of Umar. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He will decide. He said, hang on a minute. That doesn't make sense. You don't go to the Supreme Court, get a judgment from the Supreme Court, and then challenge it in the court of first tier and say, well, will you junior judges look at this judgment? It doesn't work like that. Your Prophet is the greatest. You say, of all the prophets and mankind, and he's decided and you want to go back to Umar. But the munafiq, the hypocrite, insists. So they go to the door of Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They knock on. The great Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes out. The hypocrite says, okay, Umar, we've got a case for you. We've got a dispute and we need you to decide on this dispute. And whatever you decide will be the final word. I've got my full trust in you. Wasn't this Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu was used to dealing with disputes? So he said, fine, no problem. Tell me what it is. The Jewish man spoke. He said, Umar, before you do, let me tell you one thing. Your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already heard the arguments in this case and decided it in my favor. But this person is not accepting the word of the Prophet, and therefore he's come to you. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu turns to this hypocrite and he says, is that true? He says, that you've gone to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has decided this matter, and now you have come to me for a ruling on this? He says, yes. He says, okay, no problem. You wait right here, and Umar will make judgment in this case. So he thinks, okay, well, I managed to cross the first hurdle, so I've got Umar to, you know, at least listen to me. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu goes back into the house. He unsheathes his sword. He comes back. And he takes a swipe and takes his head off. He says to the hypocrite, he says, the one who doesn't accept the ruling of the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Umar's sword will decide his fate. Because how can you go from the Supreme Court back to nobody when it comes to the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ask them to decide? Now, in Medina, there is absolute chaos. Umar has killed a Muslim. Umar has done this. Umar has done that. Umar has done. Then, Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's, you know, tells the people that Allah Azza wa Jal has stated that what Umar did was right. Umar struck this person, and what he did was absolutely correct. Why? Because the glorious Quran says, then, O beloved, by your Lord, they shall not be believers until they make you judge in all their disputes. Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the glorious ayat of the Quran. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what Umar did was the right action because Allah Azza wa Jalla had confirmed it. This was devotion. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one that the companions came to for all their affairs, to judge between disputes, to decide on how to do things, to kind of show the path, but not only guidance, for everything in their lives. Their focal point was the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was everything. Everything. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their doctor. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their guide. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their teacher. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their king. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was their helper. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the judge, and for them, justice personified. This was devotion beyond comprehension. You know, the blessed companions were amazing. When it came to the court of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were a lot of problems with the munafiqeen. And Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu always had that passion. He couldn't bear the hypocrites. He couldn't bear people who were deceiving. And yet, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew who the munafiq were. In fact, there were companions who were given lists of people saying, you know, these are the munafiqeen. keep it a secret. Aqa Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew them. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, being the fiery person he was, he could not bear these people. Now, in the fifth year of Hijri, there was a famous battle, Banu Mustalik. And during that, the Muhajirin and the Ansar were all together. And at one time, they were camped in a place, and there was a well. And everybody was queuing up for the well, and a slave of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, I think some scholars write, was there for water. And one of the Ansari companions was there for water as well. And a dispute arose among them. Now, as the dispute happened, unfortunately, it got a bit out of hand, and there was a scuffle. There was a scuffle, and what happened is people started to join both sides of the party, and it became a bit heated. Now, eventually, it all calmed down, and people, you know, woke up from their ghaflat, from their dreams, and they realized, what are we doing? Why are we fighting amongst ourselves? So, at that point, there was a munafiq, and this was kind of the leader of the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay. So he realizes that this is a good opportunity to make the Muslims fight amongst each other. He claimed to be a Muslim, but really, he was just a fake sheikh. What had happened, actually, there was a bit of history to this, and you may remember from YOLO Series 3, when we talked about the life of Aqa Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, he was actually one of these people who was quite well known in Medina Sharif, and people used to come to him for help and spiritual guidance and all that. But he was a fake sheikh. He was just pretending. And when Aqa Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, the real deal came, nobody gave him any the time of day. So he realized that his shop was closed, his business was over. And so he thought, oh, I'll pretend to be a Muslim, and I'll cause fitna and I'll cause disorder within the Muslims. So this was an opportunity. So as they were fighting, things were calming down. He says that to the Ansar, he says, you know, you have created this problem for yourself. They said, how? He said, well, these Muhajirun, when they came from Makkah, when they migrated from Makkah, they had nothing. It was you who gave them, you know, your homes, you gave them your wealth, you gave them everything. And today, as they become more established and they become, you know, grounded, they're now turning on you. It's all your own fault. So this is how the munafiqeen work. This is how they work in our society as well. Instead of when two people are fighting, instead of kind of, you know, showing them sense and talking to them and trying to make things work out between them, they throw fuel on the fire. So Abdullah bin Ubay is doing exactly that. He's saying, this is your own fault. You gave these people a board in your cities. You distributed your wealth equally amongst them. You've given them respect. And if you didn't aid them, they would have long left. It's all your own fault. And he then goes on to say some despicable words. He says, by the Lord, if we reach Medina, we honorable people, na'uzubillah, will drive out these disgraceful people. Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa tawbali. He's talking about Allah Azza wa Jalla's beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the blessed companions, the Muhajirun. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Zayd bin Arqam radiallahu anhu was a young child then. But even the young children of Medina loved Aqa Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he could not stop himself. He said, by the Lord, you are the disgraceful one. You are side-glanced by your nation. You have no supporters. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is respectable, honorable. He is granted honor from Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is a mercy, and his nation loves him and reveres him. So a young child says this. Now, upon listening to this, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he says, oh, don't worry. I was only teasing. I've just said these things. Anyway, time goes on. The Muslim army marches back into Medina. Hazrat Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu anhu, young child, his heart is pierced. How dare this munafiq say these things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How dare he say that we are honorable and na'uzubillah, Aqa Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their companions are not? So he comes to the court of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm furious. Young child, can you imagine the love? I mean, these companions were next level. This young child could not bear that somebody had said something against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cannot live with this. He has said this. So the companions call Hazrat Abdullah bin Ubay. He comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he starts to assert his truthfulness. He starts to give false testimonies. He says, no, Zayd is either mistaken, he's lying, he's fabricated it. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I didn't do this. Now, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remains silent. When they go, the companions say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zayd is a child. He might be mistaken. There might be other explanations. You know, Abdullah ibn Ubay is a senior man. He's an old man. He's very well respected. He's known in Medina. And are we really going to hold the word of a child against this man and punish him? Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's got his sword ready. He's saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this, Zayd isn't lying. I'm going to take him. I'm going to put an end to this man. He's a munafiq. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar, no. You're not going to do anything. Wait and see what Allah Azza wa Jal decides. Then, as Abdullah bin Ubay is going around, his own son confronts him. And he says, oh my father, I hear that you have said despicable words against the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. How dare you? And he puts a sword to his neck. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, so Abdullah bin Ubay's son, he puts a sword to his neck and says, tell me the truth or I'll put an end to you today. And Abdullah ibn Ubay, he's disgraced in front of the people. And he still denies it because he's a munafiq. But then Allah Azza wa Jal reveals glorious, glorious ayats of the amazing Quran, confirming that those people who say we didn't say it, in fact, they did. And Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was telling the truth. Subhanallah. His son puts that sword on his neck. You know what he says? He said, my father, I will not hesitate. I want you to say with this same tongue, and this is in front of the people, I want you to say with this same tongue that by Allah Azza wa Jal, I am disgraced and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most honorable. Abdullah ibn Ubay repeats those words. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu and he says, Umar, tell me this, that if you had killed him at that time, would that be better? Or what has happened today? That his own son has put him under the sword and made him make these statements. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the most wise. You know, Allah has blessed you with wisdom that is beyond our comprehension. You know, the creator of the heavens and the earth has blessed you with that foresight that the rest of creation can't even imagine. And you were right. This is a better outcome. These were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were those who sacrificed everything at the feet of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people, their lives evolved around the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We've heard today three stories in relation to the companion's amazing life in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many times do we get an opportunity to do a good deed? A good deed presents itself and sometimes we get lazy and we let it go. And then we live to regret it. But these days the mindset is, well, it doesn't matter. It's not going to cost me anything. It's not going to harm me. So that's it. But on the day of judgment, when you've got your book of deeds there, and you see all, you know, this is the day when for one good deed, you will go and beg people. And you look at missing all these. When it came to the companions, they didn't look at their book of deeds. But this was the beauty. You know, a lot of times we look at our book of deeds and we think, well, that'll be an extra good deed in my book of deeds or extra deeds, but it's okay, you know. When it comes to worldly things, we never hesitate. We want to jump at the opportunity. If there's a sale on, if there's an opportunity, we'll drive long distances to get the deal of the century. But when it comes to good deeds, we're not there. But on the day of judgment, we will regret it. This is why Amir al-Sunnah Dawud Barakatuhu al-Aliya says, become greedy, but not for worldly wealth or worldly status. Become greedy for good deeds. Every opportunity you get. The companions here did their good deeds, but not to fill their book of deeds.
They did it in the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what gave them steadfastness, is what the scholars write. That's a very important but subtle point I want you to remember. Do good deeds, but do them purely for the pleasure and love of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you will get steadfastness. You will get that istiqamah. You will get that strength. You will get that passion. You will get that enthusiasm to do them. If you simply do them to build up your book of deeds, which is a great thing, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it doesn't give you that strength. What gives you even greater strength is if you do every good action for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and stay away from ostentation and showing other people. So that was the first. The second was that keep Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the judgment and the guidance of Aka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above all else. Let Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decide your worldly affairs for you. How do you do that? By learning what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and how to live your life and live in accordance with it. And then the third, that when it comes to the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then be truthful and rely upon Allah Azza wa Jalla giving you the best outcome. And that will always lead to success in this world and the hereafter. I'm going to move to my second segment. Inshallah, we'll continue from here next week. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
Now what I was saying neatly leads me on to today's department. There is a special department of Dawat Islami. And before we go to the documentary for this department, I'll tell you a little story. Many years ago, I met a brother in Bolton, and mashallah, he was, you know, praying five times a day and in the Madni environment of Dawat Islami. And we were talking, and he said, you know, Arun Bhai, I unfortunately didn't used to pray regularly. And, you know, people had told me, but I wasn't too bothered. But he goes, one thing changed my life. Because somebody gave me a pious deeds booklet, Nek Amal. And he said, it was a little booklet that you'll see some of the Dawat Islami brothers carrying about. And he gave me this, and he said, every night before you go to sleep, you know, read through it. So a few times when I remembered, I used to go through it, and have you done this? And it was a list of, you know, things I should be doing every night. And he goes, just by looking at that every night after my work and after my family life and after chilling out with my friends, I just look at it and think, yeah, Allah, I haven't done that, I haven't done that, I haven't done that. And he goes, it made me into a five-time namazi. I used to started to pray five times a day. And once I started to pray five times a day, that brought blessings and barakats in my life, and I changed the whole of my life. The Pious Deeds booklet. It's available on phones now because times have moved on, and you can download the app, a brilliant app, and you can fill in those. For those of you who are sat listening to us now, go to the Play Store or Apple Play Store, and you can download Dawat Islami Nek Amal, and it's a beautiful app that gives you accountability. You know, every day, what do we do with our children? Every day we remind them, so that gradually over time they learn to do things. So when they get up in the morning, this is the procedure that they do. They have to put their uniforms on, they have to do this, they have to do that. And gradually, as they get older, starting from nursery, they learn the etiquettes of home, they learn the etiquettes of school, they learn, how has it got to that stage? How have they become so steadfast in their ways? Because of repetition, because of reminders, because of contemplation every day that this is what I have to do. In exactly the same way, in hikmat, you know, the scholars for centuries have said you should have a little checklist of good deeds that you should be doing and of things that you should be avoiding. And in line with that, and this has been going on for centuries, Amir al-Sunnah Daud Barakatum al-Aliya, the founder of Dawat Islami, has given us the Pious Deeds booklet. Now, hundreds and thousands of people, if I say millions, I'm not wrong, around the world have transformed their lives just with this Nek Amal booklet, because it's a reminder every day of the things we should be doing and those we don't. Because we are insan, we forget. It's natural, we forget. And if somebody reminds us every day, then alhamdulillah, gradually we start to act upon it. Let's look at the documentary. We're running out of time, inshallah, and then we'll come back and finish off.
It's Dawat-e-Islami, Islami. It's arrived to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
Dawat-e-Islami followers were given an amazing task, which we call the pious deeds. This is a beautiful system of self-accountability, a way to check for ourselves how our actions are on a daily basis and how we are living our lives. Sheikh-e-Tariqat Amir-e-Sunnat introduced a remarkable booklet named Pious Deeds. These are 72 pious deeds for Islamic brothers and 63 pious deeds for Islamic sisters. Then many other categories were established for children, for those with special needs, and those that are attending the jamias as well. A mobile application has also been developed, so now without the booklet, you can digitally access your deeds. And as you continue reviewing yourself, you begin to notice a difference in your life, in your actions. Such questions are asked in the booklet. Did you make good intentions? Did you offer all the five daily prayers in congregation? Did you lower your gaze, avoiding inappropriate glances? Did you control your anger? Did you speak polite with respect? Allahu Akbar. Did you say salam to Muslims? Did you avoid lying, backbiting, and tailbearing? Did you pay off your debts on time? Did you follow the traffic rules? Did you respect your parents? This and many, many other questions are asked, and it's a self-accountability where every day we get the opportunity to improve ourselves. The Madani aim of Dawat-e-Islami is, I must strive to reform myself and the people of the whole world. Insha'Allah Azzawajal. Long live Dawat-e-Islami.
With all the temptations in the world, with all the distractions and everything else, we need something every day to bring us back down to earth. We need something to tell us who we really are and what we really should be doing in this world. We need something to remind us of our obligations, our duties, and our love in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And trust me, there's nothing better to change your life than the Pious Deeds booklet. Download the app today. I challenge you, 7 days. I'll check with you next week. If you download it right now, go to the app store, Nek Amal Pious Deeds booklet, Dawat-e-Islami. If you download it now and start to fill it in. And the boxes are really good as well, because if you click on it, you can say, today I did this, or today I didn't do that. And you press it once and it turns blue. If you hold it, it turns red. So if you've not done something today, for example, the Azan was happening, it tells you to stop whatever you're doing and listen to the Azan and reply to it so you can get all these extra good deeds. But if you didn't do it, you talked through Azan, you carried on, yeah? If you hold it, it turns red. And then after a month, you can look at it and see, what have I missed? So am I reading my Quran every day? And trust me, it's an amazing way of changing your life. You know, we all want to change. Dawat-e-Islami has given you an amazing opportunity. It's your chance to do your part. Download the booklet or get the booklet from the Maktaba, keep it with you and start filling it in. And this way, we can all grow stronger in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We've come to the end of our program. Inshallah, we'll see you next week. Salu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ameen bijahi Nabi Lamin.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.